माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरवनचारियों यमुना तीरवनचारियों जो जो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरवनचारी यमुना तीरवनचारी जो जो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जो विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रयोजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्लोक प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रयोजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरदास ठाकुर की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवत महापुराण की निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे समवेद भक्त वृंद की समवेद भक्त वृंद श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ओम ज्ञानतिनिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೀನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಟು ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 1 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 12 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 33. ತದಭಿಪ್ರೇತಂ ಮಾಲಕ್ಷ್ಯ ಭ್ರಾತರೋಚ್ಯುತಚೋದಿತಃ ಧನಂ ಪ್ರಾಹಿಣಂ ಅಜಹುರ್ ಧನಂ ಪ್ರಾಹಿಣಂ ಅಜಹುರ್ ಉದಿಚ್ಯಾಂ ದಿಶಿ ಭೂರಿಷ ತದಭಿಪ್ರೇತಮಾಲಕ್ಷ್ಯ ಭ್ರಾತರೋಚ್ಯುತಚೋದಿತಃ ಧನಂ ಪ್ರಾಹಿಣಮಾಜರ್ಹು ಉದಿಚ್ಯಾಂ ದಿಶಿ ಭೂರಿಷ ತದಭಿಪ್ರೇತಮಾಲಕ್ಷ್ಯ ಭ್ರಾತರೋಚ್ಯುತಚೋದಿತಃ ಧನಂ ಪ್ರಾಹಿಣಮಾಜರ್ಹು ಉದಿಚ್ಯಾಂ ದಿಶಿ ಭೂರಿಷ Abhipretam, wishes of the mind. Alaksha, observing. Bhratara, his brothers. Achyuta, the infallible Lord Shri Krishna. Chodita, being advised by. Dhanam, riches. Prahinam, to collect. Ajarhur, brought about. Udicham, northern. Dishi, direction. Bhurisha, sufficient. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Understanding the hearty wishes of the king, his brothers, as advised by the infallible Lord Krishna, collected sufficient riches from the north left by King Marutta. Purport. Maharaj Marutta was one of the great emperors of the world. He reigned over the world long before the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira. He was a son of Maharaj Avikshit and was a great devotee of the sun god known as Yamaraj. His brother Samvarta was a rival priest of the great Brihaspati, the learned priest of the demigods. He conducted one sacrifice called Sankara Yajna, by which the Lord was so satisfied that he was pleased to hand over his own the charge of a mountain peak of gold. This peak of gold is somewhere in the Himalayan mountains, and modern adventurers may try to find it out there. He was so powerful an emperor that at the day's end of sacrifice, the demigods from the other planets like Indra, Chandra and Brihaspati used to visit his palace. And because he had the gold peak at his disposal, he had sufficient gold in his possession. The canopy of the sacrificial altar was completely made of gold. In his daily performances of the sacrificial ceremonies, some of the inhabitants of Vayuloka, airy planets, were invited to expedite the cooking work of the ceremony. And the assembly of the demigods in the ceremony was led by Vishwadeva. By his constant pious work, he was able to drive out all kinds of diseases from the jurisdiction of his kingdom. All the inhabitants of higher planets like Devaloka and Pitruloka were pleased with him for his great sacrificial ceremonies. Every day he used to give in charity to the learned brahmanas such things as bedding, seats, conveyances and sufficient quantities of gold. Because of munificent charities and performances of innumerable sacrifices, the king of heaven, Indradeva, was fully satisfied with him and always wished for his welfare. Due to his pious activities, he remained a young man throughout his life and reigned over the world for 1,000 years, surrounded by his satisfied subjects, ministers, legitimate wife, sons and brothers. Even Lord Sri Krishna praised this spirit of pious activities. He handed over his only daughter to Maharshi Angira, and by his good blessings he was elevated to the kingdom of heaven. First of all, he wanted to offer the priesthood of his sacrifices to learned Brihaspati, but the demigod refused to accept the post because of the king's being a human being, man of this earth. He was very sorry for this, but on the advice of Narada Muni, he appointed Samvarta to the post, and he was successful in his mission. The success of a particular type of sacrifice completely depends on the priest in charge. In this age, all kinds of sacrifices are forbidden because there is no learned priest amongst the so-called Brahmanas who go by the false notion of becoming sons of Brahmanas without Brahminical qualifications. In this age of Kali, therefore, only one kind of sacrifice is recommended, Sankirtan Yajna, as inaugurated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he was here in Mumbai trying to construct temple for Shishirada Rasbihariji, many devotees were helping him, especially His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj was in the front line. And used to travel all the way from Juhu to South Bombay to meet with government officials and get the job done. And in the meantime, Prabhupada used to conduct classes and he was very fond of hearing Srila Prabhupada. But she couldn't get time to hear Srila Prabhupada. She was wondering that I am supposed to be hearing from my spiritual master. However, I am always engaged in this service given by him only. So what to do? He was in confusion what to do. So he just wanted to ask Srila Prabhupada. Actually, he approached Srila Prabhupada, he was just about to speak out his heart. Before he spoke out, Srila Prabhupada recited, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtake. Then Prabhupada said, there are two kinds of Bhagavatas. One is person Bhagavat, another one is book Bhagavat. If you are serving person Bhagavatam, that is as good as reading book Bhagavatam. There is no difference between the two. So that presently you are serving the order of your spiritual master. So you continue. Because it is as good as reading Bhagavatam. And initially, later on you will get enough time. That time also you can read. And thus His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was satisfied with the answer given by Srila Prabhupada. So, on the 1st of August this month, we celebrated the glorious disappearance day of Raghunandan Thakur and also Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. I just thought of, you know, discussing these great personalities. Generally, on such disappearance days and appearance days of the great souls, we speak about them at the end. Initially, we speak about, you know, subject matter, Bhagavatam, and that itself is so vast. And at the end of the lecture, what happens? There's hardly any time left to speak about their glories. So we may end up, you know, speaking one line or two line about these great souls, which is not satisfactory. So I just thought of first speaking about this great soul, Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, so that we can ponder upon his, you know, great qualities of his Vaishnava life. Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj is considered as one of the very exalted Paramahamsa Siddha Mahabhagavata devotee of Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, he has a very special place. He came in the line of Narottam Das Thakur. And in fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur honored him, he recognized him, and he actually went and took his blessings. He appeared in this world in 1859 in one of the remote villages of East Bengal. His father's name is Sanatan Brahman and mother is Surasundari Devi Dasi, Sarvasundari Devi Mata. And he took initiation from Harilal Brajavasi and later on he took Babaji Diksha from Ramananda Brajavasi. Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj lived a very special life of pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. He lived in solitary places just to continue his bhajan for many, many years. Away from the, you know, general civilization, because nobody could understand his lifestyle. And he just lived like an avadhuta, not caring for social conventions and general rules, you know, that set by the society. He was not at all caring for them because he was on a very high transcendental platform and therefore he lived alone in seclusion, serving his lordships. He mostly lived on the banks of Ganges, the area of Baral Ghat in Navadvip. And he had only three possessions, it is said. That he had three క మీన్స్ కౌపీన అండ్ దెన్ కారంగ అండ్ కంఠ ఓన్లీ త్రీ పొజిషన్స్ వెరీ వెరీ బేర్ మినిమం హీ కుడ్ సస్టైన్ విత్ అండ్ వన్స్ హిజ్ అసోసియేట్ శ్రీపాద్ హరిదాస్ గోస్వామి పండిత్ జీ హీ మెట్ విత్ హిమ్ అండ్ హీ ఆస్క్డ్ హిమ్ వై డోంట్ వేర్ అట్లీస్ట్ వన్ బహిర్ వస్త్ర సమ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ గమ్చా వై డోంట్ యువర్ యు ఓన్లీ వేర్ కౌపీన్ వై డోంట్ యూ జస్ట్ వేర్ అన్ ఔటర్ క్లాత్ దెన్ బామాజీ మహారాజ్ లిప్రాయడ్ ఐ లివ్ ఓన్లీ విత్ కౌపీన కారంగ అండ్ కంఠ ఐ హ్యావ్ నథింగ్ టు డూ విత్ బహిర్వాస్ బ మీన్స్ బహిర్వాస్ దెన్ హీ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్డ్ బహిర్వాస బ్రింగ్స్ రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ ఔటర్ వరల్డ్ which is full of bahiranga people, those who are with external, only into externals. So when I wear bahir vastra, then I had to associate with these bahiranga people which are away from the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore I don't want to. And then he lived a very secluded life away from civilization and continued his bhajan. And in fact he said, Maya Gauranga Mahaprabhu told me not to wear bahir vastra and also do not associate with those who are away from, those who are bahirangas, that means they do not have any concern for devotional service. Better you don't live with them. So this was the order given by Lord Mahaprabhu himself. His world consisted of six sets of deities. Nitai Gaura and Gadadhar Pandit and Radha Krishna and Gopal. Six sets of deities he had. And in order to render his loving devotional service to these six sets of deities, he had only few positions. It is said that he had two brass pots and few earthen pots and some plates and one glass and some cups to offer liquid items and one achaman and one ringing bell and one conch. This is all he had to serve his duties. And Babaji Maharaj would pass his day and nights in service to the deities. He hardly slept. He kept awake all night long. And at night he used to sing for his deities very sweetly. And would personally talk to these deities all day long, all night long. So this is how he lived his life. And in the early morning he would go out to collect fresh flowers for the worship of the deities. And he would come after some time after fetching nice flowers. Then he would again go out begging alms to cook for his deities. And by the time he would come back, it was almost afternoon, more than afternoon, 1-2 o'clock. And that time he would start, you know, wash his vegetables. And it is said that he washed and washed and again with the water of Ganges. Make sure it is totally clean, his vegetables. And he would cut them and then he would take the rice. Every single rice he used to thoroughly examine. And if there is any husk on top of any of these rice grains, you totally, thoroughly take it off. Made sure that none of his rice containing any husk or any other kind of issues. So thus he very lovingly served his deities. And he did everything very, very slowly. And by the time he cooked, it was almost evening. Since morning he is into worship of the deities. And it took so many hours to cook one meal for the day. for the deities. And all the while simply talking to the deities and singing beautiful songs for his deities. This is how he lived all his life. And then he had no consciousness of time. He had no question of time management. For him there was nothing existing like morning, evening, day and night. He was in his own world, immersed in the service of the Lord. And once again, you know, Shripad Haridas Goswami approached him. And he saw him cooking right in the morning, 9 a.m. And he was surprised to see, this is not the time Maharaj generally cooks. So he happened to see this and he was surprised and he asked, "Oh, what is this you are cooking in the morning today? So why don't you do the same thing every day so that you can feed the deities in the morning?" At that time he replied that, "See, I don't have any sense of time. Whenever I get time, I cook. And if they want, if these deities, if they want bhoga time to time, then they have to manage on their own. I cannot take any responsibility." He has such a loving relationship with his deities. He would say that. Then he said that, okay, then let Gadadhara Pandit cook for Gauranga. He can cook for Gauranga. And Nityanantru, anyway, he is Avdhuta, he can go anywhere out and he can beg and eat. For him doesn't make much difference. And as far as my Gopal deity is concerned, there is one milking cow which comes every day here. And that milking cow can give enough milk and some or other Gopal can sustain himself. The only my concern is about Radha and Krishna. I have to cook for them. If I don't cook for them, I don't know whether they will be staying here any long. So they might go back to Vrindavan and start begging Madhukari. So this is how his sentiments were. So thus he lived all his life serving his deities. And he never locked. Of course he had a small hut. And only these possessions and these six sets of deities, nothing else. No other paraphernalia. And there is no question of locking his simple hut. And he would just leave away and go for begging and fetching flowers and like that. So there was no question of locking the door. So once it so happened that some thieves came in and they stole these pots, some of the pots, brass pots. And then Babaji Maharaj came home, came back to his hut and he sees that things are not there. Then he became very furious. He started chastising his deities. These are your possessions and you are so callous that you don't even care for your own possessions. Why don't you take care of your possessions? And he was trying to chastise his deities out of love for them. And then he said that I'll punish you for being negligent like this. Then he said that I will not cook for you today because you are not taken care of your own position. So he did not cook that day. And deities were standing without having any bhoga. Then next day, actually one person came. All of a sudden and he offered one stolen pot. A brass pot. And then Babaji Maharaj saw that pot and he said, "Oh, this belongs to Nitai. This is belong to Nityanandru. So I'll only cook for Nityananda today. So let only Nityananda eat and let Mahaprabhu fast because his pot is missing." So that day he cooked only for Nityananda Prabhu and only Nityananda Prabhu was fed. And Mahaprabhu was standing alone and looking at the plate of Nityananda and feeling very hungry. And when this happened, actually the same very next day, another person came and he offered another stolen pot. Then Maharaj said, "Oh, this is belonging to Mahaprabhu. So now I'll cook for even Mahaprabhu. So thus he cooked for both and he used to feed them with loving emotions. So and then with tears in his eyes, he would go in front of his deities and he would beg forgiveness. Do you think that I want to chastise you like this? I'm your servant after all. How can I do that? But you people have become so naughty that you want to, you know, take pleasure out of me. Therefore, I have to do this. What can I do? I'm helpless. Thus, he would cry and weep and sing and, you know, praise their glories, his beloved deities. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he was a contemporary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And he, Saraswati Thakur had very high regards for Babaji Maharaj. Although hardly anybody understood him because his mannerisms and his lifestyle was totally eccentric. Nobody could understand his moods. It is said that he hardly took bath. All his life he never took bath. And only one old kapini wore and disheveled hair, long beards, fiery eyes, great ascetic. How can you expect an ascetic to be very smart and beautiful? He was in his own world and meditating on the sweet pastimes of the Lord. And Bharsarasi Thakur, when he saw him, he would understand that here is a great Mahabhagavat. And once he went to see him to take his blessings, Sarasya Thakur went and saw him for his blessings. That time Babaji Maharaj said that, oh, just look at this personality. Someone who is very dear to Mahaprabhu has come to see me. So they could understand each other's glory because it takes one to know one. Only a pure devotee can understand who is another pure devotee because they understand the qualities of another pure devotee. Otherwise, it is not very easy to understand the exalted nature of a Vaishnava. Saraswati Thakur actually instructed his brahmacharis to, you know, take care of Babaji Maharaj needs. He hardly needs few things, just like some vegetables, some rice to cook for his deities and some flowers. He instructed his sannyasis and the brahmacharis to take care of the needs of Babaji Maharaj. So thus all his life he lived a totally secluded life of pure love and devotion to his deities and without caring for any social conventions. So all his life he lived like this, and in the year 1944 he departed from this world to again enter into the eternal pastimes of Sri Radha Govinda, his beloved Gaur Nithai and Gopal deity, and of course Gadadhar also. So thus are the glories of Srila Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, which are sung by devotees of the Lord. And coming back to the today's subject matter, we are reading from this verse wherein we see that in Kurukshetra, after the Kurukshetra battle, Maharaj Yudhishthir, he was very unhappy because he thought that because of his greed, so many people have been killed, his own kinsmen. He was very morose. So therefore, he was desirous to perform Ashwamedha sacrifice just to get rid of his, you know, all these sinful reactions. So, but he had no funds because whatever funds was there, it was enough sufficient for maintenance of the state. But he wanted a huge amount of, you know, golden ornaments and pots and other riches to paraphernalia to commence with this sacrifice. But he had none. So knowing the will of his greater elder brother Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhima, especially Arjuna and Nakul Sahadev, they were advised by Lord Krishna himself, as is spoken in this verse. So Krishna, they personally told him, so why don't you go to this Himalaya mountain where there is a golden peak of mountain. You can go and fetch all these golden utensils left over by the Brahmanas who were engaged in the sacrifice commenced by King Marutta. Marutta was a great king. We read about him. Prabhupada speaks about him in the purport. So he had conducted great yajna over there. And after the yajna, all the Brahmanas and priests, they had given sufficient charity and everything else. And it was so much so that, so much of, you know, burden for them to carry all these, you know, utensils and vessels and charity, golden coins and cows and whatnot. So whatever they could carry, they carried out, but so much of wealth was left there only. Lord Krishna knew that. So therefore he advised his brothers to go and fetch. Therefore, Arjuna is known as Dhananjaya, one who actually collected a lot of wealth for the sacrifice of his brother, Yudhishthira Maharaj. So, of course, as it is spoken in Chanakya Niti, he said that Vishadapi Amritam Grahyam, Medhyadapi Kanchanam, Nichadapi Uttamam Vidyam, Stri Ratnam Dushkuladapi. That means, if Amrita is available in the midst of poison, so we should not hesitate to collect that Amrita even amidst the poison. Similarly, if there is a pure gold available in the midst of filth, as in this case, medhyadati kanchanam, so one should not hesitate to take away that gold and utilize in the service of the Lord. Similarly, good qualities, if they are available even in a low quality, low degraded person, we can learn all those good qualities even from such a person. Similarly, if a woman has taken birth in a lower family but has all good qualities, still she can be accepted. So, thus all these golden pots and utensils were brought and utilized in the major sacrifice conducted by Yudhishthira Maharaj. And we have heard about King Yudhishthira. He was such a soft-hearted, pure devotee, great emperor, Rajarshi of his time, that his reign is only compared to the reign of King Lord Ram. In fact, when he ruled his citizens in Hastinapur, so the people of Hastinapur remembered the days of Lord Ram, Ramaraj, because it was as if Treta Yuga has once again come down. Although it was Dwapara Yuga, but in the reign of Yudhishthira Maharaj, people always felt it is just like Ramaraj. They remembered Lord Ram. So thus, King Yudhishthira is compared to Lord Ram, and his reign is also compared to Lord Ram's. So therefore, let us try to focus our now attention to Lord Ram, who is a great king himself, and he ruled his citizens in such a wonderful way that we have heard about it and we have read it. So let us try to understand a little more about this. Being Maryada Purushottam, Lord Ram did not speak much, but he exemplified his character in such a way that looking at him, people understood what he wants to say. That was the quality of Lord Ram. Because we don't hear that Lord Ram gave any sermon or any lectures or any seminars. He was simply interested in taking care of his citizens. And he did it so well that people understood much even without speaking. So, yadida acharati sreshtat tatta deva itarojana sayat pramana kurute loko dastanuartate. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as the Shrestas are great people. They live their life. The common citizens will understand what to do. So therefore it is a great responsibility for those who are in higher positions like Lord Ram. So recently I was hearing one lecture by Shubha Vilas Prabhu. He has mentioned many things. So in which he was saying that the time is when Lord Ram has told to go to Vanvas for 14 years. So that is the time. So he is trying to meet his mother Kaikeyi, and at the time of entering her palace, Lord Ram is called Deepak. That means he is Ragukula Deepaka. But means he is a lamp which is shining in the reign of Ragukula. And we know how a lamp lights up. It has to have its wick and also sufficient ghee, isn't it? Otherwise it cannot burn. And when it burns, it gives away itself. That means the wick is finished and even the ghee is finished. That means when lamp burns, it burns for others, nothing for oneself. This is how Lord Ram also lived his life. But the enemy of lamp is what? Wind, isn't it? If there is a wind, it wavers. If there is a strong wind, then it goes off. Similarly, in Ayodhya, there is a great turmoil, tornado, which is coming up now. What is that? Political turmoil, because of Kaikeyi's desire that Lord Ram had to go to Vanvas for 14 years. So, although Lord Ram is subjected to such a great tornado, is not like an ordinary lamp which goes off. Of course, when he went inside, he is considered as Ragukula Deepaka. But when he came out of her palace, he is not known as Deepak, but here, this time he is known as Diamond. Because diamond also shines, lamp also shines. Lamp needs ghee and wick, whereas diamonds needs nothing. On its own, it shines. So Lord Ram is that diamond which doesn't need any such externals to shine himself. So thus Lord Ram is compared to a diamond here. And the time came to go back to Dandakaranya forest. That time Ram looks at sun on the sky, and he actually now is called as Sun Surya of Surya Kula. Matlab Raghuvamsha is known as Surya Kul, the dynasty of Sun. The Sun of Sun dynasty is known as Lord Ram in this case, because the sun doesn't need any wick or ghee to shine himself. Nor is like a small gem or a diamond. A diamond shines, and the diamond's light can only help the nearby area. Diamond kept in a room can light up the room itself, not beyond that, isn't it? But whereas the sun is such a blazing fire on the sky that illuminates the entire 14 planetary system. There's no question of supplying any fuel to burn up this great fire. And that is how effulgent and powerful is Sun God, who is shining on the sky. So now the Lord Ram is compared to blazing fire, fiery sun. Our sun is not restricted to Ayodhya or India or a city like Mumbai. It is meant for the 14 planet system. Entire universe it can light up. Similarly, Lord Ram is now going out of Ayodhya just to light up the entire universe. So this time therefore he is known as the Sun God himself. The sun gives knowledge. Sun is epitome of knowledge, isn't it? Because it's light and warmth. It is compared to the knowledge. It is said that there are two kinds of knowledge. One is sadhana jnana, another one is siddha jnana. Sadhana jnana is the knowledge which we acquire in our initial days of our Krishna consciousness. So that means we hear, we read scriptures, we try to understand, we gain the knowledge, but it is on an initial stage, so therefore we cannot expect it to be a fully ripened one. Because one may think that he has acquired knowledge and he may speak about how to control the vices like anger and all these things, and he may give big lecture also. But as soon as he comes down, if somebody gives him a feedback, probably you spoke this thing but it is wrong, he can immediately become angry. Although he gave how to manage anger, anger management class, and he can become easily angry because that knowledge is not a very matured one. It is a elementary knowledge. And of course, even this knowledge removes the darkness. But the problem with the knowledge is that it has its side effects also. So, sun is like knowledge. But sometimes we say that sun is covered by the clouds, isn't it? Although there is a blazing sun, as soon as there is a cloud covered, so we can hardly see the sun and light is reduced. Sometimes it almost looks like any evening, almost there is nothing in it. Although it is maybe afternoon sun, but because of the clouds, we see that hardly much shine of the sun. So, we see that Sugriva is also called as son of sun god, isn't it? And also Lord Ram is also in the dynasty of sun god. Both I have taken birth in the sun dynasty, but they have different qualities altogether. Sugriva's knowledge is just like that of an elementary knowledge when it comes in contact with clouds. So the knowledge is covered. However, here is Lord Ram. We understand his glories. So nobody can cover the knowledge of Lord Ram because he is sun himself and nobody can stand in front of him. So, also we see that how the sun has another quality of producing heat, isn't it? Sun produces light as well as heat. So when sun produces heat, it is unbearable. We may like only morning and evening sun, but nobody likes afternoon sun, noonday sun. It's the same sun, but just because he has intensified his heat little bit, now people start cursing the same sun because now that heat is unbearable. Although he is knowledgeable, he gives knowledge, but the heat produced by the sun is unbearable. So similarly, when a neophyte acquires knowledge, yeah, it's good that he is trying to acquire knowledge. However, if it produces heat, then that is not bearable. So therefore, we see that how even Hiranyakashipu was trying to preach the knowledge of soul and body. But that is never taken very seriously because he had so much pride and other vices that his knowledge was there, although he was speaking the truth. But because of his bad character, it was not accepted at all. Isn't it? Same knowledge has been given by Lord Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. That we accept and we quote and we make our lives perfect reading it. Because that knowledge has that transcendental quality, whereas the knowledge produced by Hiranyakashipu is not of that character. In this regard, once a man wanted to give his seminar, he entered into the auditorium and he saw not many people, only one man was sitting there. And he was surprised, such a big auditorium and I was supposed to give class here and there is hardly anybody here. Why? What happened? The advertisement did not happen properly or what? But anyway, there is one person, he asked him directly, "So would you like to hear from me? So what do you think? Should I talk because you are only alone sitting here?" And the person said, "See, I am a simple farmer. And if I have 100 horses, let us say, and all 99 have gone, ran away, I have only one, let us say, horse. I'll feed one horse." He said only this much. He understood. Okay. So then he made him sit down and he downloaded all the files in front of him. That means he gave solid lecture for hours together. And then he asked, "So did you understand what I spoke?" The farmer said, "See, I'm just a simple farmer. I don't understand all these big, big philosophy what you speak. But I can say one thing. If I have 100 horses, only one horse is in front of me. I'll feed only to one horse and as much as that horse eats. Not that I'll feed entire 100 horses fodder to one horse." He understood. So therefore, the knowledge when acquired in initial stage may not be a very fruitful one because it may not be a of high quality. So one may acquire knowledge, but one also has to understand that whom to give knowledge and how much to give knowledge. So that may be initial stage, one may not understand those things, but it's nevertheless one learns by the progress of time. However, Lord Ram's knowledge is Shuddha Jnana, it is pure knowledge. He doesn't even have to speak. Just by looking at him, people understood. Just looking at by his pure character, people understood and if they followed. And Lord Ram's knowledge is compared to the sun in the Kartik month, isn't it? In the month of Kartik, we look for sun to come and warm up the atmosphere. So so when Lord heard that he has to go to Vanvas for 14 years, he felt very nice about it. Although he was ripped away all his possessions, his palace, his throne, his kingdom, his citizens, and everything else, he was totally bankrupt within moments. But as soon as he heard the news, he was so glad and so satisfied that his face became radiant, effulgent. When we hear some bad news, something happened to us, so naturally we wither away. Our face becomes very small and we become very morose. However, here we see that Lord Ram has been banished for 14 years. He feels so nice about it. The reason also is given. And in this regard, he calls his mother, out of three mothers, Kaikeyi, who is responsible for him to go to his Vanavas, and he calls her, Kaikeyi, a Janani. Janani is mother, one who has given birth. Also, he was son of mother Kaushalya. Here he is addressing Kaikeyi as his mother. And the reason is that mother knows the heart of the child, even if the heart doesn't understand. The child may weep and cry, but nobody understands, but the mother understands why the child is crying. Similarly, he said that you are my mother, so you have understood my heart. I always wanted to go in woods and hear from the sages. This was my great desire. And nobody understood my heart. Dasharath gave me the order, you should become a king now. So then anyway, Rama is very obedient because he was told to become king, so he was ready to become king. But nobody asked his opinion, are you ready? Are you ready to sit on the throne? Nobody asked. And he was the obedient son of his father. He is about to sit on the throne. However, knowing the heart of his son, Mother Kaikeyi, he sent him to the Dandakaranya forest. That's what Lord says here, Ram, that my mother loves me so much that she has sent me to associate with great sages. And also, as soon as I sit on the throne of the Ayodhya, I will be burdened with the heavy management day in and day out. And here I am newly wedded. And as soon as I gets, you know, my this thing done, then there is a heavy responsibility of taking care of the entire Ayodhya and entire kingdom. So it's going to be a very, very heavy responsibility. However, my mother knows that I want some free time to go around with my beloved wife, Sita. Knowing well that she has, you know, arranged this nice program for me. So therefore, she knows my heart. So therefore, Lord compares her to Kalpataru. Vansha Kalpataru Bhesha, isn't it? We say that. Kripa Sindhu Bhesha Patitanapa. So here, Lord is saying that you are less, just like a desire fulfilling tree because you have fulfilled my innermost desire. So therefore, you are Kalpataru. And not only that, he called her nectar personified. Nectar personified. What is that nectar? That Lord Ram knew the beautiful Vaishnava qualities of Bharat Maharaj. But nobody understood it. Lord wanted to glorify Bharat Maharaj. So therefore, now here is a time to glorify Bharat, who is like a nectar. And this nectar has been given by Kaikeyi, because he is the son of Mother Kaikeyi. So when we see the boons spoken by Kaikeyi, we criticize her. We understand that what a wicked woman she was, that she asked for these two boons, and which was so deadly that the Lord had to go for 14 years and the entire Ayodhya was into tears and so much of hardships everybody had to undergo. So therefore we criticize her for asking these two boons. But however, Lord Ram himself, who is the most affected party, if there is anyone who is at loss, who is that person? Lord Ram himself. And he is calling Kaikeyi with these two adjectives, Kalpataru and nectar. And Bharat was such a great personality that he loved Ram so much, more than even Lakshman. Of course, we understand that Lakshman and Ram, they are together. That is because Lakshman was very, very assertive. He would tell that without Ram, I cannot live a single moment. And he was true to also his words, and he spoke it out. However, Bharat had the same feelings, but he never spoke it out. He kept his love for Lord Ram in his own heart. He never expressed it. Lord Ram knew that how much Bharat loves me. And it so happened that actually we see, when we read Ramayana, we see that initial time he was with Ram, and after that he leaves for his grandfather's place, Kekai Desh. His grandfather Ashwapati, the father of Kaikeyi, he lived with him till the date he was coronated, for only one reason. What is that reason? If I stay in Ayodhya, then people might think that I am also loving Ram, because you cannot hide my sentiments for Ram. Then the people might think that I also love Ram. I don't want to be seen as a lover of Ram. I want to be away, just so that Ram's glories can manifest fully. Thinking like that, he always stayed with his grandfather's place. And Ayodhya Vashis, they called Kaikeyi snake, because she was like a serpent-like personality, because she was poisonous, because she was, you know, fed by the none other than Manthara. Because of her association, she also started vomiting poison. Therefore, she is considered as a deadly serpent. And a snake lives in snake holes, isn't it? We have seen. And one thing the snakes cannot tolerate, that water. If somebody pours water into the snake holes, what happens? The snake comes out. So therefore, we see during the rainy season, snakes coming out, because if the water enters inside the snake holes, they cannot tolerate, so they come out. That water was the poison fed by Manthara, so the snake could not stay there. It came out. Kaikeyi came out of the snake hole, and anybody who is nearby, the snake will bite. Who was nearby? Dasharatha Maharaj. So Kaikeyi bit Dasharatha Maharaj, and immediately, within a couple of days, he leaves his body. That was the deadliest of the poison which he had to bear. And Ayodhya Vasis, they compared her to a deadly serpent, but on the head of serpent, what generally lies? A diamond. And who is that diamond? Bharat Maharaj himself. So it's absolutely faultless, although he may be sitting on the head of a serpent. He may be a son of Kaikeyi, but he has no such qualities, because generally son takes to the qualities of mother. However, here is the son of Kaikeyi. He is absolutely pure and faultless. And in fact, he acted like a great physician. He took away all that poison, whatever his mother had. So, therefore, he actually stayed away from his own mother all these 14 long years till Lord Ram comes for coronation. And he wanted to remove that attachment, her own attachment to her own son, Bharat Maharaj. So therefore, he stayed away from his mother. And in fact, although he stayed away, but still, she loved her son, Bharat, so much that she wanted him to become the king of Ayodhya. So therefore, she thought she loved him. But Bharat Maharaj, knowing the heart of his mother, he wanted to chastise her and take away all that poison, remaining poison within her heart, by chastising her. We hear from Ramayana how he chastised his mother. He said that you are like a scorpion. A scorpion, a baby scorpion, when it takes birth of mother scorpion, it actually bursts out the body of scorpion and takes birth. So that means mother scorpion had to give her life. So you are like that scorpion. Then not only that, he says that actually what happened once Manthara, after Lord Ram was banished, was moving within the palace very happily, because now she is appointed a servant of Kaikeyi. So because of her, you know, happiness, seeing her after doing this kind of a disaster, she is so happy. Shatrughna saw her demeanor and he wanted to chastise her. He said that, "You rascal, then I would like to kill you right now." So he was about to kill her. ఇమీడియట్లీ దేర్ కేమ్ భరత్ మహారాజ్. ఓ శత్రుఘ్న, వాట్ ఆర్ యూ డూయింగ్? యూ ఆర్ నాట్ సపోజ్ టు కిల్ ఎనీ హ్యూమన్. వీఆర్ క్షత్రియస్, వీ కెనాట్ రేజ్ అవర్ వెపన్స్ అగేన్స్ట్ దీస్ విమెన్స్. ఇఫ్ దట్ వాజ్ ద కేస్ దెన్ ఐ వుడ్ హావ్ కిల్డ్ మై ఓన్ మదర్. మై ఓన్ మదర్ ఐ వుడ్ హావ్ కిల్డ్ కైకేయి లాంగ్ బ్యాక్. బికాస్ దట్ rule is there that we are not supposed to do that, therefore I am keeping quiet. So these are the hard words spoken by Bharat Maharaj, because he acted like a physician and he wanted to take away whatever remaining poison is there in the heart of Kaikeyi. And not only that, he disowned her. From that day onwards, he never called his own mother mother. He always called her Kaikeyi or whatever, but he never called her as mother. So this gave sufficient lessons to Kaikeyi, that I thought I loved my own son Bharat so much, but it appeared that he's not loving me only. And in fact, it is said that Kaikeyi, even the Ayodhya Vasis are so much unhappy with her ways of doing things. So they said, you cannot stay in Ayodhya, you get away from here. All the Ayodhya Vasis wanted to banish even her. The Ayodhya Vasis never liked her. So she had no place in Ayodhya. So then, if she wanted to drown herself into the earth, just like Mother Sita later on, she does. Even in that case, the earth says that you have no place here. I cannot take you. Just like plastic. No, plastic is something which will stay here forever. Even the earth cannot absorb it. Earth even doesn't like it, because it is such a nasty thing. So therefore, earth also rejected her. Okay, then I will go to hell. Even if she wants to go to hell, hell also there is no place for her. The residents of hell and the in charge of the hell said, there is no place for you to stay here. You get away from hell also. This is how she was rejected by anyone and everyone. That was the state of affairs. However, it is Lord Ram who loved Kaikeyi more than anybody. Although every single person rejected her and scolded her, including Bharat, but it is Lord Ram who loved her unconditionally. Unconditionally. Because when she came to Chitrakoot to meet, Lord Ram went and touched her lotus feet and embraced her. This is the quality of Lord Ram. And looking at Lord Ram, she understood, I think I should have loved Ram only in the beginning. Why did I send Lord Ram to this Vanavas, and then I wanted to make my son as king? I think I'd have simply loved Lord Ram from the beginning only. So this is how Lord Ram's qualities shine forth when we read this great epic, Sri Ramayana. So, of course, time is going on. Actually, one final point I would like to conclude with. Actually, Lord Ram wanted to do Samudra Manthan also. What is that Samudra? Samudra is the entire Ayodhya kingdom. And the water in that Samudra, that ocean, was the tears of all the Ayodhyavasis, because they shed constant tears out of affection for Lord Ram, because they see personally going how the Lord Ram is being banished. So Lord Ram staying away from his devotees, Ayodhyavasis, for 14 years. That is like a mountain, a separation, 14 years of separation. That is called as Mandara mountain. And Vasuki, easily to imagine, who is that Vasuki? Vasuki. Kaikeyi. Because Kaikeyi, anyway, she is considered a serpentine. And anyway, Lord Ram used her as Vasuki. And the tears of Ayodhya, it was like ocean.
But what they wanted to, what Lord Ram wanted to bring? The nectar, the nectarian qualities of Bharat Maharaj. And also so many Vaishnava good qualities of Bharat Maharaj which are lying within the ocean, Lord Ram wanted to bring out. So therefore, he churned the ocean of Ayodhya and then he brought out the beautiful qualities of Bharat Maharaj. So therefore it is Lord Ram who loved Bharat Maharaj so much. Although so many people misunderstood him, so many people misunderstood him, but Lord knew the heart of Lord Bharat and thus he wanted to glorify Bharat Maharaj. It is Bharat Maharaj who wants to glorify Lord Ram and the other say, at the same time Bharat is also very much interested in glorifying Lord Ram. So this is the relationship between devotee and the Lord himself. So therefore we see that whether it is Parikshit Maharaj, whether it is Yudhishthir Maharaj, whether it is Marutha in this case, or whether it is Lord Ram, whether it is Bharat Maharaj or Lord Lakshman, or whether it is Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, or whether it is Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, or whether it is Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, or any other devotees of the Lord. Their only business is to glorify and serve the Lord, no matter what happens in this material world. So therefore, we can learn from these great souls, whether one may be an ascetic like Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, who lived in seclusion and had any position, but still he had so much love for the Lord. However, we see all these great kings, they are emperor of the world. Each one of them, they lived long, long life, having so much of wealth and honor and prestige and no matter, and what else. But still, at their, in their own hearts, they never considered anything belonging to them. They considered anything and everything is belonging to Lord only, and they utilized everything in the service of the Lord Ram and Lord Krishna. So therefore, we can learn so much from these great souls, and let us pray at the lotus feet so that we can also acquire these Vaishnava qualities. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki. Granthara Srimad Ramayana Mahapurana ki cha. Itai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.